मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरम्। सो वेलकम वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू ऑल फॉर वेरी वाइब्रेंट एनर्जेटिक रेसिडेंशियल प्रोग्राम दैट इज गोइंग ऑन। सो बिफोर आई स्टार्ट आई वुड लाइक टू कंग्रेचुलेट हिज ग्रेस अच्युत अर्जुन सखा प्रभु एंड हिज एंटायर टीम for me and most of you all who are participants here. I was not part of organizing team this time, so I'm a participant. So for most of us, it's like everything is going so smooth. We have breakfast, we have dance, and then class, and again some cleaning service, and then again snacks and class, again you'll have dinner now after some time. So for us it's very easy, you know, it's going smooth. But then the team, entire team, was slogging like anything from last couple of days to decide what should be the schedule, what should be the menu, how to engage each and every person for each and every minute. So a great task the entire team has done. And the only thing that we can do is we can express our heartfelt gratitude by praying for all of them. So let us chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for all of them. Let's pray for them so that they all advance very, very fast in Krishna consciousness.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Okay, so let's start with today's session. The last session, as Achyut Prabhu said, for this evening. So this is one of my favorite sessions which I give, and I'm sure at least 3-4 people sitting here might have already heard this session. This session opens one's eyes towards the reality. All the time we are blinded. It's not that we want to get blinded, but we are forcefully blinded by the surrounding. So this session will forcefully open our eyes. And surely, surely it will give a lot of insight, a lot of realizations. And towards the end of sessions, we'll see if time permits, we'll take some questions. But before that, we'll take some realizations and reflections. So I've titled this session as The Lost Wealth, The Glories of Ancient India. And towards then, we'll also see the glories of Sankirtan, Samyak Rupena Kirtan, that is Sankirtan. Now when it comes to the Vedic scriptures, we are not going to discuss something hi-fi, no rocket science today. It's all simple. You all know it already. The only thing that I'm going to do is just trigger, that's it. And automatically the thought process will start. As most of us sitting here are well educated, the only thing that is needed is a trigger. And all these sessions that we are having, suppose now after the session if I ask, what did you like in the session? Prabhuji, entire session was very nice. No, tell me specifically what did you like. Entire session was nice, Prabhuji. Maybe we might not remember the content, and that's not very important also. But important is, has my thought process triggered or not? Has got triggered or not? So that's what we're going to do now. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes a very wonderful shloka, or he speaks a very, very wonderful shloka. This is 15.15. I've mentioned it wrongly there. Please repeat. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha vedaisya sarvera hameva vedyah वेदांत कृत वेद विद एव चाहम। सो इन दिस पर्टिकुलर श्लोका कृष्ण मेक्स इट वेरी क्लियर दैट ही इज द वन वेदैश्च सर्वे अहमेव वेद्यो। हु इज सपोज टू बी नोन इन ऑल द वेदास? कृष्ण सेज इट्स मी, यू शुड नो मी। एंड देन ही सेज वेदांत कृत, हु हैज कंपाइल्ड द वेदास? कृष्ण सेज इट्स मी, आई डिड इट। एंड देन वेद विद एव चाहम। सो सपोज इफ यू आस्क ओके यू आर द राइटर, then who is the knower? So Krishna says, it's me. I am the knower. So in this way, we see these Vedic scriptures are not something written by a mortal being. These Vedic scriptures are given by Lord Krishna himself in his literary incarnation as Vyasadev. Some of the glories that we all can resonate to, I would like to mention those here in different slides. So as we all know, currently the modern science has advanced very nicely. And people say that, you know, we are overcoming many diseases. But at the same time, we also know many new ones are in. They're around. But when it comes to our ancient Vedic culture, our ancient Vedic tradition and our scriptures, all these different techniques, you know, that we are seeing nowadays were already present at that time. From Rig Veda, you know, we understand that so many things are given about surgery. There was a person called Sushruta. He was called as the father of surgery. And this was in 3rd century. And he wrote a famous book called Sushruta Samhita. And in that he mentions medicine. He talks about medicine. He talks about plastic surgery, dentistry, gynecology, and cataract surgery also. So now all these things are now, if you properly analyze, maybe a couple of decades back these things have come. And people are aware of it. But these things were already present. These people, like Sushruta and others, they did a lot of wonderful work extracting things from scriptures and presenting it to public. So surgery, yes, they were already pro at that time, from the Vedic times. When it comes to Ayurveda, I don't think I need to speak much about this. Entire world, especially now during COVID, my Ayurvedic doctor was saying this, that Ayurvedic medicines was such a great demand was there throughout the whole world that the prices increased like anything. Everyone was looking up to this. No side effects. Things are very nice. And where does this come from? It comes from Atharva Veda. And a lot of things are given about Ayurveda. And I'm sure all of us know, especially in Kerala, we have got these special centers for Ayurvedic medicines. And obviously at different parts of India as well. So they export the medicines. So it's very nice to see that something Westerners are expecting from us and they're taking from us, and that is this, Ayurveda. When it comes to mathematics, again, Atharva Veda's appendix talks about mathematics, by the way. You can just imagine the content of the Vedas then. So when it comes to various discoveries, we know Aryabhatta, he did all that. The zero, unknown, x, value of pi, etc. 6th century, all this. But we are still struggling with that even now. In our school days and whatever. Square roots, cube roots, finite difference, interpolation. Don't worry, I'll not ask what it is. Yes. And Brahmagupta in 7th century, he gave the Pascal's triangle. I'm sure all the coders here might have done that initially. No? The Pascal's triangle. I think it is there on the red, that red triangle, Pascal's triangle. So all these things were already there in the initial centuries. I'm talking about 6th century, 7th century and so on. So you can imagine how rich our Vedic culture was. But one amazing thing is, I'm sure all the engineers here, all the students who have studied science, prepared for JEE, AIEEE, whatever. Which books did we refer? Foreign author? Yes? I don't remember the names which I referred some time back, but then foreign author books, that's what I recommended. So in this way we understand that we are rich in our culture, but somehow we have got deviated. You want to hear more? Let's continue. This personality, Srinivas Ramanujan, I was not knowing much about this person. So in Coimbatore, one of my students, who is the HOD of that college, invited me to give a session on the birthday of this personality. So just the before session I read about him. A great personality when it comes to being a mathematician. And he says this. What is an equation for him? He says, an equation for me has no meaning unless it expresses a thought of God. So these great personalities, they were thoroughly grounded in the Vedic principles. Thoroughly grounded in the Vedic culture. And they were deriving all the strength from the Vedic culture and Vedic scriptures. When it comes to other departments, so physics also. So most of the physics which we are studying now, or I should say which we studied and forgot before, it is revealed in Rig Veda, most of it. Some of them are like the theory of atom. So a person called Maharshi Kand, so he gave the theory of atom in 2nd century. And this is given in the book called Darshana Grantha. Quantum physics, this was again given by Satyendra Bose in 20th century. Gravitational theory, who gave gravitational theory? Brahmagupta. Brahmagupta in the early centuries in India, he gave that. And structure of solar system, eclipse, all these things are wonderfully given in Rig Veda. Entire science of eclipse is given with the diagram. I was just going through, you know, some of it. So I was very amazed to see, you know, the sun and the moon and the earth, you know, their straight line and how the reflection is happening and all that. Shadow, how the shadow is falling on the object that is eclipsed. So in this way we see that it's really glorious. It's really glorious. Everything is there. But somehow we lost it. Somehow we lost it. Just a couple of years back, I came across this Vaimanika Shastra. So I had some students from aerospace, aeronautics engineering. So they were studying this. So they told me about this. So this Vaimanika Shastra, it gives all the technical details of the flying structures, various different flying structures. As of now, we just know the aeroplane with the cramped situation, you know, where three seats are there and somehow people sit, and little bit of space is given and they charge extra for that. Yes. But here we see, you know, such amazing different structures and all of that, you know, with measurements. You can see, you know, how whatever, you know, they are put there. So in this way, we understand that all these things are already there in our glorious Vedic scriptures. Some very, very famous department from the Vedic scriptures is Yogasanas. Everyone all over the world are subscribing to this now. Yogasana. Everyone. And now since other people are subscribing to it, we also have started subscribing to it. So we always wait. We always wait. Let it come from Western country. It is said sometimes, जब तक पानी शंख से नहीं गिरता उसको अभिषेक नहीं कहते. So for us, the shank is what? The shank is Western world. And when they do something and they pour it, oh, very nice, let's welcome. Yes. But this yogasanas and all these things, no, great, great personalities have already done in the past. In fact, Bhagavad Gita, which was given 5,000 years back by Lord Krishna, an entire chapter is dedicated for this. Chapter number 6, Dhyana Yoga. It's given, you know, how to do Ashtanga Yoga, how to do. But somehow, shank se jab pani girta hai to, yes. Again, a very, very famous one, astrology, Vastu Shastra. It's very amazing to see when we go to some houses in India. Have you all seen that Laughing Buddha, Feng Shui and all that? Yes. And people really like all that. And they'll say, oh, this is so amazing. And then it talks about the structure of the house and this and that. But if you deeply analyze that particular topic, you'll see that it's all copied from Vastu Shastra. Vastu Shastra clearly talks about where should be the door, where should be the bedroom, where should be the kitchen. And there's a great science behind that. There's a great science. The flow of energy in the house is nicely circulated by Vastu Shastra. And that's how very peaceful environment, a peaceful setup, you know, is taken care. And what can be a very, very experiential stuff which we all have gone through, this temple atmosphere. So when we see, when we come to a temple atmosphere, automatically people are peaceful. Especially when something really wrong happens, people remember temple. They come here, they sit, they close their eyes and they sit for a long time. We don't understand what they're doing. Sometimes we feel that, you know, they've gone to another level. But don't know which level they are in. But one thing is clear, there's so much of peace that people get. Because temples are designed like that, according to Vastu. And when the houses are also designed, oh, a lot of benefit is there. And this Vastu Shastra, it comes from Yajurveda. One of my favorite department in this entire Vedic scriptures is the Indian architecture. I really love this. If you go to any ancient temple, you go to any nice place where carvings are there, nice sculptures are there, you can actually see the details of it. And every single thing will have some significance. It's not just something random. It's not something random. Everything will have some details to it. I've got a video here. Let's see this maybe for a few minutes.
Of high standard.
I think you have to play.
Of high standard developed in almost all regions during the ancient India. The distinct architectural style of the temple construction in different parts was a result of geographical, climate, ethnic, racial, historical, and linguistic diversities. Ancient Indian temples are classified into three broad categories. This classification is based on the different architectural styles employed in the construction of the temple. Three major techniques of the temple architecture are the Nagara style or the northern style, the Dravida or the southern style, and the Varsaras or the mixed style. But there are also some regional styles such as Badami Chalukya architecture and Karkal architecture in Karnataka, Kalinga architecture in the Odisha, Maru Gujra temple architecture in Rajasthan. In the initial stages of its evolution, the temples of the North and South India were distinguished on the basis of some specific features like the Shikara and the Gopurams, which are the gateways. In the North Indian temples, the Shikara remained the most prominent component, while the gateway was generally unassuming. The most prominent feature of the South Indian temples were the enclosures around the temples and the Gopurams. Design of the temple. The very essence of a Hindu temple is believed to have been developed from the ideology that the all things are one and everything is associated. The four essential and significant principles, which are also the aim of the human life according to the Indian philosophy, are the quest for the artha, wealth and prosperity, kama for pleasure, dharma for moral life and virtues, and moksha for self-knowledge and realization. The mathematically structured spaces, intricate artworks, decorated and carved pillars, and the statues of the Hindu deities illustrate and value such philosophies. A hollow space without any embellishments situated at the center of the temple, usually below the deity, may also be at the side or above the deity, symbolizes the complex concept of the Purusha or Purusha, meaning the universal principle of consciousness. The cosmic man or the self without any form, however, the omnipresent and associated with all the things. The Hindu temples suggest contemplations, encouragement and further purification of mind. It also prompts the process of self-realization in the devotees. However, the preferred process is left to the convention of the individual devotees. The site of the temple. The Hindu temples are suggested to be near the natural water bodies such as the confluence of the rivers, riverbanks, sea shores and lakes.
So there's a lot of wonderful things given in this. Maybe I can circulate the video, you can see that. So all the temples which are constructed, those are not random. Chalo jagah mil gaya, bandh do temple. No. You can see different temples, different places, they will have a particular architecture. And the space that is there in the temple, outside the temple and all that, every single thing has got a significance. Every single thing. And there are temples made up of single stone. It's called as monolithic architecture. And there are temples, you know, which are there in the middle of the water body. There are temples, you know, on the top of the mountain and all that. And all of them are standing from thousands of years. And currently, by the way, my father is a civil engineer. So, no, nothing to civil engineers. But then, nowadays the constructions which are there, it collapses every now and then. Yes. Recently in Bangalore, it happened at three places. The entire building collapsed on one side. What about this? This is all based on the Vedic scriptures and the Vedic culture, you know, which people are following. So here we understand how strong and wonderful the Vedic scriptures are. And each and everything that the temple construction has is from the Vedic scriptures. And everything has got a significance. We had gone to this place called Hampi, maybe some 3-4 years back, or 3 years back, before Corona. So, we had seen these structures. You see these structures? I was amazed to see. For kilometers together, these structures were there. And my limited understanding during that time was, when it rains, maybe people will be walking through. Now that's what I can max think. Then we were talking to the guide there. So the guide was explaining us, this was the marketplace, it seems. And in these marketplace, it was not the fruits and vegetables that were sold. But still, whatever commodity was sold was in the basket. And in that basket, they were selling the precious jewels, the pearls, rubies, emeralds, and the gold, silver, and all these things. And who would come to trade? people from Gulf countries. And what is the proof? There's a temple in this particular place, Hampi. Obviously, there's no worship that is happening, no deities are there, but the architecture is there, that's preserved. So below the temple, the last line or the last part of the temple, so there different personalities are carved. And that the guide was showing us, look at this. And we were seeing it was the proper attire of an Egyptian, proper attire of a person from a Gulf country. So we can understand that actually that song, Mere Desh Ki Dharti, Sona Ugle Ugle Hire Moti, actually it was there. It's not something, it was not there. Because in my childhood when I would hear that song, Republic Day, Independence Day, they would play this. I would say, kaha hai sona aur chandi, kaha ugal rahi hai, kachra ugal rahi hai har jagah par. But actually when I went to this place and started exploring more about the Vedic culture, then it was amazing. Yes, it was there. But somehow we lost it. Where has all this wealth gone? I spoke about gold, emeralds, all that is okay. But if we properly analyze, if we go back to our Vedic culture, if you properly analyze the education system, now see, all are dumped into the same class and same school, same syllabus, and nowadays everyone wants to become an engineer only. Yes. Or whatever profession is there. There are few professions which people choose. And sometimes when someone dares to choose something else, you know, parents will be scared. No, you go to become an engineer, after that do something, whatever you want. But then when it comes to Vedic culture, Vedic scriptures, in the Vedic times, there's a system of Gurukul. And in the system of Gurukul, the nature of the person will be first analyzed by the Guru. He will see, is he a Brahmana? Is he a Kshatriya or is he a Vaishya? Brahmana means a person who works with intelligence. And a Kshatriya means the one who is, you know, working with his power, his physical strength. And Vaishya is the one who has, you know, business mind. So he will analyze that first and train them accordingly, give the principles and values accordingly from the Vedic scriptures. So after this training, when people would pass out, when the graduation would happen, it would not be that everyone is going around, you know, with a paper, you know, please give me a job. They would be self-sufficient and they would be standing on their own feet, you know, and they would be independent. That's not there, no? Yes. First, before taking admission, what do we ask? Campus placement hota hai kya? This is regarding education. When it comes to lifestyle and values of relations, oh, so amazing it was. When it comes to the small kids, they would get up early in the morning, take bath, and first thing they would do is go touch the feet of their parents, grandparents, etc., take blessings. Anything good have to be done, blessings would be taken. Husband-wife relationship, so strong, so thick it would be. Doesn't matter how the husband is, doesn't matter how the wife is, so thick. And the entire family would be completely bound together with love and affection. And what about now? As soon as the marriage is done, split! Yes. And as soon as the kids are born, there's another tension that is there. My counselees were married. You know, they do talk about this. Probably 2 lakh, 3 lakhs per annum we have to get, you know, the money and all that. And even after all that, he's not respecting me. Touching feet to dur ki baat. I was hearing one of our senior devotees. So a boy, you know, he went down, you know, something fell down and he wanted to pick that up. That was near the feet of his grandfather. So he went and then the grandfather was about to bless and he's like, he saw that, high five! So there is no culture of blessing and all. Maybe in our generation, I think this is the last generation which will have this. Another thing which I heard, you know, from another counselee of mine, that they would send the child to some kindergarten nearby here. And the maid servant would accompany that child. And what would be the job of the maid servant? That she has to come, elderly lady, she has to come and she has to remove the shoes, you know, untie the lace and then remove the shoes and then send, again when she comes out, you know, again put the shoes, tie the lace and all that. So the teacher saw this and they said, no, we don't want to give this culture. We want to give proper culture of respect and values. So this was told to the parent and she said, what nonsense is this? We'll change the school. They changed the school. So this is the value system of parents And we can imagine what will the value system of kids. And that's how, you know, we have love at first sight, divorce at first fight. So this is what is happening everywhere, everywhere. When it comes to the spiritual practices, there was no need of discover yourself session, Gita course session and all these things. There was no need of residential program at all. It was natural. It was natural. The grandparents would be doing it. They would teach, you know, their sons or daughters who will be the parents. They would teach to their sons and daughters, whatever. It will continue like that. It was naturally there in the blood. Spiritual practice is naturally there. Getting up early in the morning is something natural. Very, very natural. And coming together and doing some kirtan, like whatever we are doing here, it's very natural in the Vedic tradition. Reading Shastra, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all that, very natural. But now it has to be explicitly told in various ways. And then people understand, this is a logical point, very nice. And when it comes to the crimes and other things, it was very low. It was not like the way it is now. When it comes to the murders and rapes and this and that, is very normal nowadays. So we say that in newspaper, what's happening? Just the names are changing, activities are same. Yes. So what's the use of reading newspapers? And when it comes to this depression, suicide and all this, you go and ask your grandparents or their parents if they're existing, if they're alive. Go and ask them, do you know anything about depression, counselor, counseling? What nonsense are you talking about? It was not needed at all. Why? Because there were natural counselors at home who were called as grandparents or great-grandparents and so on and so forth. So all these things, if you properly analyze, are kahan gaya ye wealth? Where is it gone? Where is this wealth of India gone? It has gone somewhere. It has not gone, it was kidnapped. Many people contributed. So India is like a very, very broad country. And people here are with broad hearts. We welcome anyone and everyone. Aa bail mujhe maar. Yes. So that's what has happened. And first great personalities who came, who ruled our country for 600 years plus, was these Mughals. Now, they were not very intelligent. They had some strength, but not very intelligent. They were seeing that every single person in this country is so glorious. He is independent. He is not dependent on anyone. See, if you're dependent on someone, that person can be ruled. That person can be made a slave. But then, if the person is independent, where's the question of making that person a slave and, you know, controlling him and all that? So every single person was self-sufficient. Every single person. In Vedic times, the wealth was land and cows. And taking care of them, and people are independent. Barter system was there. And when these Mughals came, they were not able to understand, where are they getting strength from? Every single person is so strong from within. Where is the strength coming from? And only thing that they were able to manage or do was superficially analyze what was happening there. They were seeing that every morning and evening these people come to a structure called temple, mandir, and they do some activities here. Something is there in this place. If this place is gone, they lose their strength. So what they started doing, you go to any ancient temple, which is, where you can see some part is broken and all that, glories to them, they contributed. They went around, broke our deities, broke our temples, at different parts of the temples you can see broken here and there. Especially this place, Hampi, you know, such beautiful structures, but then at some place the head is not there, hand is not there, legs are not there. So they felt that yes, if we demolish the structures, maybe these people will lose the strength. But they were not very intelligent. They hardly knew that the roots of Indian culture are very, very strong. Very, very strong. And those are rooted in a place called Vedic scriptures. That they couldn't understand. Then came very, very intelligent people. The Britishers. So 600 years plus they ruled. Britishers, you know, some 200, 300 years roughly, they ruled. But then, they didn't do what the Mughals did. The Mughals would go forcefully, you know, break the temples and harm the people and so on and so forth. But these people analyzed. Ekdam, you know, just say we engineers analyze. Yes. Unse mila ye sab. They analyzed. And they could make out one point that it's not just the temples. Obviously, that is the strength. But then something very, very deep. And that is their spiritual strength. And the spiritual strength they're deriving from which place? From the Vedic scriptures. This they were able to understand. And as soon as they were able to understand this, they didn't go openly out there to fight with people. They went underground. And they started doing various things. They were trying to change things internally. Some of the examples, you know, which I have in my notes here. So they had sponsored Indologists. Now Indologists are the ones who are basically who study the various literatures, and they try to go deep in that particular thing. So they sponsored them, and there were different Indologists, you know, who came into picture. One was Alexander Tuff. Now this personality, what he did was, he established the Scottish College in Kolkata. And in this place, it became the headquarters of what? Campaign against Hinduism, or campaign against the Vedic culture. Very nicely, step by step, please hear this carefully. At the end of the session, you will feel that we have lost something very great, but this has to be understood. Step by step, they started breaking things, one after another. Alexander Tuff started one. Then came William Johns. This personality, he became master in 16 languages, Indian languages, by the way. And then he said, my mission is to undermine people's faith in the authorities of Vedas. All of them had only one goal. And what was that? Undermine the faith of people in the Vedas, in the Vedic scriptures. Pull people down. Pull their confidence down. Pull their strength down when it comes to Vedic scriptures. Then came H.H. Wilson. He inspired the British government. And he said that award several pounds, thousands of pounds, for what? For the best refutation against the Vedic scriptures. They started doing that. Because they were able to see that all of them are independent. We cannot do anything. All of them are self-sufficient. If we really want to capture these people, these Indians, we have to make them dependent on us. Till the point they're not dependent on us, we cannot do anything to them. And this is natural also, yes. And they could analyze this, and slowly and steadily started doing this. And another famous personality, Max Müller, he became a scholar in Sanskrit. And he said, he made wrong interpretations of Vedic scriptures. And he said, India is much ripe for Christianity than Rome or Greece. Yes, here it is the place, you know, to spread various other religions and other propagandas. And they started this propaganda, how their culture is best and how our Indian Vedic culture is stupid. And here comes the personality who wrote a letter, or who addressed the British Parliament. It's a nice thing, you know, which is told here. He says that I have traveled across the length and breadth of India and have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country. Such high moral values, people of such caliber, that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore I propose, see the proposal, that we replace our old and ancient education system, our culture. For if the Indians think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation. Such amazing thing. He's speaking about the ancient Vedic India, and also at the same time he's talking about how it can be conquered. He made some statements. He said that Indian languages contain neither literary or scientific information. This was the statement that he made, the previous slide. Indians are poor and rude. They should be enriched by our help. Can you imagine? This person is making such abominable statements. A single shelf of European library is more than all the Indian literatures put together. Somehow they wanted to pull people down, and they were making these statements. And he made a very, very important statement. All the works of Sanskrit in the Vedas is just a fiction of imagination. And today, you know, when it comes to us, you know, so-called educated people, have you seen your colleagues or maybe your college friends or whatever, when they come together and discuss about Rama and Mahabharata and all that, what do they call it as? Mythology. What do you mean by mythology? Myth means something which does not exist. Still the Google Maps, it shows the Ram Setu remnants. Kurukshetra is still there, Vrindavan is still there, Mathura is still there. Mythology kahan se hua fir? But kya kare? We are products of Britishers, no? We'll speak. And actually people don't know the meaning of mythology also sometimes. They'll just say mythology, mythology, and so on and so forth. All their contribution. In this way, we understand that very nicely, they have programmed us. This is what they have done. They have programmed us through what? Through the education. Because they made it very clear. Are you Sanskrit, Sanskrit sab bekar hai. English is the language. The language I am speaking today. What to do? Yes, English is the language and Sanskrit sab theek hai, baju mein rakhiye usko. Now if we want to study Sanskrit, how do we study? It's very amazing. To study Sanskrit, you should know some other language. You should know English. You should know Hindi. Something you should know so that you can understand the table that is given. Yes. Bhavataha, onto you. Yes, that's how we learn. Now Sanskrit has become a dependent language on different you know, languages. And the major one is English. But one very nice point, one nice thing is there here when devotee was speaking. He was saying that Britishers, they made sure that English language spreads all around the world. Why? So that our dear Srila Prabhupada can go and preach in English language everywhere. So that's how everywhere now, you know, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, you know, is received very, very nicely. But then they had a motto. They had a motive and they were successful. This was their motto. We must educate Indians in English so that we create a class of people who are Indian in blood and color, but English in taste, opinions, morals, and intellect. For this class, we will upgrade the dialects to the Western nomenclature. Congratulations to all of them. Can we all give them a loud applause? Yes? They have done it, right? Yes? Kar diye. Just analyze ourselves. Let's analyze ourselves. Let's look into the mirror, analyze ourselves. This is what they have done. We are Indians by color. But what about our taste? Nowadays our happy birthday too happens only at night 12 o'clock. Valentine's Day is so nice. Oh, we can celebrate. And New Year is 1st January only for all of us. And people want to booze and go around and do all nonsense. I can go on speaking. But I think you all know better. So this is what they have done. This is what they have done. Successful. Very, very successful. They did this successfully. They killed our faith in Vedic scriptures. Very, very successfully. Today when we preachers, we go out to talk about Bhagavad Gita, people say, "Arey, this is all nonsense." Really? This is all nonsense? Kab se? Jab se Britishers aaye aur hume convert kar diya. Sometimes people say, "Hey, you ISKCON people, you're brainwashing." Haan, we are brainwashing. Ganda ho gaya na abhi. Toh wash karenge, kyun nahi karenge? This is a very important point to note. Jai Jai Shri Shri Gandharvika Giridhari Sriman Mahaprabhu ki, Lakshmi Narsimadev Bhagwan ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai. So very nicely they did. But then another very nice point here to analyze is, what Britishers couldn't do in what Mughals couldn't do in 600 years, what Britishers couldn't do in 300 years, our media has done in last 50 years. Very nicely. I don't know what they get by doing this, but then very nicely, jo bhi thoda bahut faith tha idhar udhar, everything is broken. And what is highlighted? The Western culture. I was feeling so much of pain. Even now people ask sometimes. Yes. Because of many, many movies which came, I heard there are some more movies which are lined up to break the faith in the Vedic culture. The movies like Oh My God, PK, and some few more are lined up. Well, this is what I heard. So these questions are asked, various different questions are asked there. What are the questions? Why waste milk on Shivling? So many poor people are sitting outside, feed them milk. Why waste oil? Putting in the lamps. So So many poor people are there, you know, do it for them. Why waste money for constructing temples? What is the need of big temples? People ask these questions to us. What is the need of big temples? Are you feed the poor people? But one nonsensical point here is why people don't understand that when they're going to watch a movie and spend 300, 400, 1000 rupees sitting on that lounge or couch or whatever, at that time poor people disappear. When people go to restaurants, whatever, BBQ and whatever is there, you know, nowadays, we pay so much of money and then go there and then, you know, eat and waste so much of food. Poor people died at that time. Where were poor people? And when it comes to all these, jo movie bana rahe, I have a question for them. Are jo 300 crore, 400 crore ka movie bana rahe, ye sab questions pooch rahe na aap log. What about the poor people? Same 300 crore, 400 crore dalo na ya poor people ke liye. Just 10 rupees milk and some little oil, that makes a lot of difference. And poor people are like, you know, so many poor people will be there at that time. But this point is not understood very clearly, that how very nicely our faith in the Vedic culture is broken. And a temple is called as mandir. What do you mean by mandir? Jahan manasik sthiti theek hoti hai, usko kehte hain mandir. Mandir. Yes? So a temple is a place where a person gets a lot of peace. A place where he gets a lot of energy, spiritual power. And people are saying, what is the need of these temples? And when you yourself are depressed, you come to temple only, no, where do you go? Correct, right? So this point has to be understood very clearly. And we have to analyze that, what is media speaking? What are they speaking all about? But somehow or the other, all the Western TV series and all the Indian movies and all the crap that is coming and, you know, dumping the garbage in our head, somehow our vision is getting changed. So I said we are blinded. We are blinded not by our own choice, but somehow we are forced to get blinded. This is what has happened. Very, very successfully our faith in Vedic culture has broken to such an extent. Today when people come and attend our Gita course classes, people ask, can you please give me the proof for existence of God? And ja baba, tu nikal, mat attend kar Gita course, get lost. Yes. Being an Indian, you are asking a question, can you give me proof of, no, God exists? Obviously, we do have sessions for college students. But then when it comes to mature people in corporate and other professionals, we expect that you do at least some research. People keep saying, and science is everything, science is everything. What is science? Tell me, what is science? Yeah, bhool gaye.
Making slaves.
Making slaves. I think you should put it in a nice quoted way. Employees, you should say. What else? What is science?
Observing what is out there in the nature and then making theories, doing experiments so that the theory is correct and or wrong. And after experiments, we get to know whether that is correct or wrong.
Yeah. So basically, whatever he said, that's what I call it as. Study of existing things. That is science. Isn't it? Do they make anything new? Science makes anything new? Sure, huh? No, we have some 40 engineers sitting here. Sure. Science does not make anything new. Bulb naya hai, fan naya hai. Invention? Nahin. Robots? Nahin. If you analyze anything, they are just a degraded version of whatever exists. What is bulb? A degraded version of sun. What is a robot? Degraded version of human being. Yes. So the point that I'm trying to make here is, science is just study of existing things and nothing else. This is what we need to understand as science students and as the students of Gita, as a follower of Vedic culture. When we understand this, then we can do something. But we are very fortunate, we have been saved. Somehow, by the mercy of the Lord, we have faith in the Vedic culture and we have faith in the existence of God, who is Krishna himself. So we have this faith, but then what about people around? We have to revive the faith of people around in scriptures, or else it will be tough. Very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. I'm sure we all came across, you know, these different ways of acquiring knowledge in our various sessions which His Grace Achyut Arjun Sakha Prabhu took. So, Pratyaksha Praman, that is, seeing is believing. People are very much interested. Whatever I see, that's what I'll believe in. Aha, really? What about the imperfect senses that we have? Can we see outside the visible range? Anyone here? What about hearing outside the audible range, 20 hertz, 20 kilohertz? Anyone can hear? Bats can hear ultrasound? Yes, snakes can see in infrared, but we cannot. Our senses are imperfect. So many other things are there which we can discuss. And also this is my favorite slide. Just observe this. It's moving. Moving ki nahi? Yes. And what about this? Ghum raha hai na? It is just an image. It's not a GIF. It's a plain image. But then what to do? Our senses are imperfect. Somehow or the other, that illusion gets created. You know, when we just keep observing it for a long time, automatically illusion gets created. First is imperfect senses. Second is committing mistakes. So naturally we commit mistakes. Do I need to explain this? Okay. Cheating propensity. Again, people are ready to cheat themselves, others for their own benefit. So having all this, how can we say seeing is believing? We cannot, because our senses are imperfect. In fact, a scientist, I forgot his name, he makes a statement that in this world we can perceive only 1% of the creation. Scientists are saying, yes. Because that's how it is. We cannot perceive a lot of things here. Whatever we can see in our visible range or audible range or whatever, we can perceive only those things. Anuman Praman, guesswork. Now here as we see, these are all blind people who are touching the elephant and trying to guess. Now what does that part basically is? They're like, oh, this is the wall. Oh, this sharp thing is the arrow, and there's like a snake and tree, a trunk and whatever, you know, whatever you all can make out from this image. So Anuman Praman is like, I feel, I guess, according to my opinion. Have you heard all these statements? Many people say, according to me, Gita is this. Who cares for your according to and your opinion? One thing people don't understand and accept, Are Baba, I'm imperfect. We should accept this point first. I'm imperfect. At least I am. Because I don't have perfect senses. I get easily illusioned. And so many other things happen. Yes. So in this way, we understand very clearly that we cannot guess by using these different senses that we have. So pratyaksha praman, seeing is believing, is gone. Guesswork is gone. What remains is shabda praman. Shabda praman basically is the Vedic scriptures that is given by Krishna himself. And we have, you know, various proofs for it. One is axiomatic truth. Axiomatic truth means what? The thing doesn't change. That does not require a proof. So like, various things are there in science. If we say point, what is the definition of point? A circle with a zero radius. We accept it. Abhi circle kaise hua zero radius ka? But it's a fact. We can accept it. Imaginary number I, which cannot be plotted on number line, but we accept it and we use it for calculations. So that is called axiomatic truth. Similarly, the Vedic proofs which are there, those are axiomatic truths which does not need proof. We had various theories of atom and whatever, Rutherford and whoever, Einstein and Newton, whatever they gave. So you see, these theories keeps changing, isn't it? One person gives something and he says, "Arey, nahi, tera bekar hai, mera achha," and then he gives this. That's how one theory after another keeps coming. But then when it comes to Vedic scriptures, it's very clear that they are the body of complete and perfect knowledge. In fact, there is a challenging statement. If we can prove any statement of Vedic scriptures to be false, entire Vedas can be rejected. Confidence, this is called confidence. Because the Vedic scriptures are meant now for each and every phase of life and each and every phase of the time that is there existing in the past, present and future. And obviously, now slowly and steadily the modern science is confirming the Vedic truths. Like for example, we have Bhugol, that is Earth. Next. So for us, only when a person went from one end to another and he came back to that place, then we understood Earth is round. Till then it was flat. But what do we call Earth? No, in Sanskrit, Bhugol. Bhugol. It is already there. Yes. Plants have life. Only when we kept a plant, outside the sun, and sun is somewhere else, when it moved, to a different direction, at that time, plants have life. Tab tak hamare hue the. But this fact is there in a Vedic scripture, and that's how we see some of the very holy plants are worshipped. And this human embryology. Now when the sonography has come, all these things, you know, photos we are getting. But these photos are already given, I mean in the verses form. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter number 31, from shloka number 1 onwards. In fact, it talks about what happens in the male and female mate. When the semen and ovum, when they unite from the day one till the child is born, what is the state of the child that child goes through? Everything is given. Everything is given 5,000 years back. But no, when it comes to when science confirms, then we will say yes. No, this part of Vedic scripture is correct. We'll wait. That's what is happening. And so many predictions are there. Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years back, 530 years back. His prediction is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Gautam Buddha's prediction is given. Again, these scriptures are 5,000 years back and these personalities have appeared recently. Chanakya Pandit, his prediction is given. King Ashoka, his prediction is given. So these are the references at the top and bottom. Jesus Christ's prediction is given. Even Prophet Muhammad's prediction is given. And so many other great personalities. Now don't ask me, is there anything given about myself also? Great personalities are mentioned. Yes. So many, many great personalities, you know, their predictions are given. In fact, very nice predictions are there of Kali Yuga also. So in the Kali Yuga, wealth alone will be considered the sign of a man's good birth. Proper behavior and fine qualities and law and justice will be applied only on the basis of one's power. Isn't that true? Man and woman will live together merely because of superficial attraction. And success in business will depend on deceit. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex, and a man will be known as a brahmana just by wearing a thread. So all these are coming true one after another, but these scriptures are given 5,000 years back. Again, another incarnation which is going to come in the age of Kali is Kalki, and it's given here. So look at the precision of the details and facts that are given about this incarnation. Lord Kalki will appear in the home of the most eminent brahmana of Shambhala village, the great soul Vishnu Vyasa. And also the description of the personality is also given, that how he'll come on the horse, you know, with a sword and so on and so forth. But then even after hearing all this, suppose your friends, if they say, because you're going to speak all this and you're going to preach to them, suppose if they say that, no, I don't believe all this. Some people, sometimes all screws are gone. You cannot do anything at that time. If see one or two screws are there, you can tighten it. But if all are gone, then you cannot do anything. So at that time, only one thing which you can do is this. If I go on explaining about, you know, say, a cake or any sweet, or the gulab jam that you had this morning, if I go on describing it's round, very nice, fluffy, and... Yes? So, suppose, you know, if I go on describing, you'll say, Prabhuji, ek muh mein to daalo. Hum samajh lenge. No need to describe all this. Same thing in spiritual life. Yes, same thing. If we practice, and when we see the changes in our own selves, we'll believe it. No need of all this proof. Whatever I gave, wo ek do screw iska theek nahi, usko tight karne ke liye. But for us, as individuals who are already practicing bhakti, for us, no need of all these proofs. What we need is, we need to practice. And when we practice, automatically everything will manifest. Are great stalwarts practiced, Baba. Madhvacharya practiced, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, so many of them have practiced, proved. So many great personalities have proved that bhakti process works. Hum log unse bhi shaane ho gaye ekdam. We are so clever, more than them. That no, we are like, no, let me see, let me read, and let me understand and all that. Yes. So, this particular point is given in Bhagavad Gita also. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. Pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukham kartum avyamam. So this particular line, pratyaksha avagamam, it says that it gives direct perception by realization. So when we practice, we'll actually start feeling that. And I'm sure, you know, all of you might be having some or the other transformation, some or the other experience. Even after speaking all this, suppose if your friend says, why should I believe? Why should I have faith in Vedic scriptures? So don't get frustrated. Chappal mat nikaliye. You can do something more. Yes. See, one important thing which, you know, I have analyzed for myself is, naturally we have faith in so many things. Some of the examples which are very favorite of mine, which I keep speaking about, is this. All of us Surely, you know, all the ones who have beard, who have gone for shaving in saloon. Person is having a razor. Where is the razor? And how are we sitting? He can do anything. You know that person? Kula, gotra, kuch pata hai uska? Dost hai aapka? Chaddi dost hai aap log? You don't know anything, but he is having a razor here and we are like, jo karna hai karo. See, here we understand natural faith, isn't it? Natural faith. Today afternoon, you know, we were coming by cab. So I was very tired and then, you know, I thought I'll go to sleep for some time. So with three people, Charan Prabhu was there, myself and Rahul Prabhu was there. So I saw he's sleeping and I also was, you know, feeling very sleepy and Prabhu was awake. But then I was thinking, what if all three of us sleep and this cab driver takes us to some other destination? But then I was like, I to think. Same thing happens though when it comes to the aeroplane or when it comes to train, bus. Ticket lene ke baad, do we go to the driver and we ask, pakka le jayega na? Do we ever ask? Ekda ticket leke bas bindas baith jate aur in fact seat ke liye jhagadte hai, are mera hai chodo mera hai. Do we ever think about what if it takes us to some other destination? Kuch nahi. Why? Natural faith. Kuch nahi pata uske bare mein. Kabhi kabhi to hum train ke driver ko dekhte bhi nahi, na hi pilot ko dekhte hain. But full faith. Full faith, no, this person will. And what about the person who is there? Chaku pakda haath mein aur wo bhi pet ke paas. And voluntarily he is, you know, cutting, and the voluntarily the person is allowing also. And when you go to restaurants, these are all my observations. I've just put here as slides. Ekdam aisa menu dekhkar, haan, wo, butter, roti. Yes, paneer, masala, whatever, you know, people order and they look at other plates and they, you know, they wait for the waiter to get. And when the waiter gets, immediately ekdam gappa gapp. Yes. But then see, I have one question. What is the guarantee ki jo chef hai wahan, what is the guarantee has not put poison in that? Koi chipkali gir gaya, uske se nikal ke bahar rakh diya. Possible hai ki nahi? Possible to hai na, possibility is there. But can you imagine our faith? Can you imagine how much faith we have in these people? We just go and order, kya re aa gaya, wah, taste mast tha, ekdam mast. Kaun sa keeda gira usme kuch farak nahi padta, mast, ekdam mast tha taste. So the point that I'm trying to make here is, are we keep faith on every Tom, Dick and Harry of this world, why can't we keep faith in Krishna? Are is there is Paramatma in our heart, he says, sarvasya chaham riti sannivishto. And there in each and everyone's heart, he says. And he says that I am the one who gives directions to everyone. He says, Matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha. I give remembrance, I give forgetfulness, I give knowledge. Nahin, Krishna pe bharosa nahi karenge, ye sab pe bharosa karenge. Krishna, when he has given Vedic scriptures to us, Bhagavad Gita to us, us pe bharosa nahi karenge. Why? Science, scientific, and I'm like, that is the problem. So here, only one thing which I would like to ask everyone is, naturally, we should have faith in the Lord. Obviously, analyze karna chahiye. I also did analysis. I also have, you know, observation and conclusions through my analysis of scriptures. But then once we start experiencing the change, we have to follow it as it is. Yes, the conclusions of the Vedic scriptures should be followed and accepted as it is. And when we do that, we will see the transformation in our life. Nahi to mushkil hai. I have some of students which I know from past some time. They are like, Prabhuji, I have to analyze karna hai mujhe. Kab se analyze kar raha hai? Bas 5 saal se kar raha hu aur thoda aur time chahiye. Are bab mar jayega ek din. Covid ne dikha diya na kya hua? Kitna analysis karenge? Start practicing and see. What do you mean by science? Or scientific experiments? It has an aim. It has, you know, what do you call it as apparatus. Then procedure, observation, and then conclusion. So, jaate na sequentially. Aim hai ki, does Bhagavad Gita work? So, directly conclusion pe kyun kudna hai? It doesn't work. Are beech ka kahan gaya? You call yourself a scientific? Go through everything. Apparatus, Bhagavad Gita. And what is the procedure? Read and implement. Observation, dekho, no, there will be heart transformation that will happen. And then you conclude. If it doesn't work, conclude. Bhagavad Gita doesn't work and give it up. But go through the procedure and with confidence I'm saying, you go through the procedure, you will say Bhagavad Gita works. It has to. Yes. Because that is given for us, for the mankind. And you know what? Now this is needed. We have to understand the glories of Sankirtan. अभी जो भी एकदम मजे में डांस किए महामंत्र चैंट करते हुए जप करते हैं, सो व्हेन वी आर चैंटिंग द हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र वी नीड टू अंडरस्टैंड हाउ ग्लोरियस एंड हाउ ग्रेट दैट इज एंड दिस इज द सेवियर फॉर द एज ऑफ कलयुगा. इफ यू रियली वांट टू गिव समथिंग टू पीपल दिस इज व्हाट यू सपोज टू गिव. बट देन टू थिंग्स आर देयर. फर्स्ट वी हैव टू एक्सपीरियंस एंड देन शेयर द एक्सपीरियंस. इट इज सेड वेरी नाइसली बाय वन ऑफ द ग्रेट सेंट्स, गोलोकेर प्रेम धन हरिनाम संकीर्तन. What is this Hare Krishna Mahamantra? It is not just some words and some letters here and there. It's something very, very great which has come from the spiritual world. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kalav Nasteva 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 Gatir Anyatha. In this age of Kali Yuga, nothing else will work except the Mahamantra. Very clearly Shastra is talking about it. So if we're speaking about accepting Shastra as it is, this is the first thing that we need to accept. And when we sit every day, I'm sure after the residential program, you'll get some booster, some power, some energy. And then when you start chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, sitting at one place and clearly hearing each and every word, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Whatever time, half an hour, 2 hours, 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever, sitting at one place and chanting, if you do it properly, the faith and conviction that you will get will be so great. You will go on roads and actually speak about the Mahamantra. Actually that will happen. With conviction, with confidence you will speak. Abhi to thoda sharam aata hai. Prabhuji, beat bag bahar le jana hai. Nagar Sankirtan mein dance karna hai Prabhuji. Prabhuji, if I wear dhoti kurta, my friends are around, what if they will see me? Arre, goli maro sabko. It's not the problem with others, it's the problem with us. We don't have conviction. Why? We have not experienced the magic of Mahamantra. Bas time invest karna, that's it. If we invest time, we'll actually experience the magic. And once we experience the magic, then we'll actually see around that so many people are in need of that. And then we voluntarily will extend ourselves. All these volunteers are mad or what? No, so much of time they're invested, to make the schedule and all that. Because they have experienced something, they want to give the experience to others. Same thing will happen with all of us. When we experience, we would strongly want to give the experience to others. And at that time, we will see the magic in others' life and that will boost our faith also. And what is the proof? Proof is Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. He converted the great hippies into very, very pure happies. Yes. He did that. They were drug addicts. They were woman monglers. They were meat eaters. They were drunkards. And Srila Prabhupada gave them this Mahamantra and they started chanting. And they are great souls now, they are pure souls now. At least hum log to hippies nahi hain. Baal chote hai, achhe kapde pehante hai. Kapde to pehante hai at least. So at least we are not in that category. So our transformation will be much more faster if we accept this great magical mantra with a lot of faith and devotion. Understanding that we have been contaminated by the philosophies given by the Western culture. Understanding that we have to wipe off that particular thing and rebuild our faith on the Mahamantra and follow the Vedic scriptures, Bhagavad Gita as it is. And once we do that, yes, we'll experience and then we'll share the experience. So I'll stop here. If you have any questions, please ask. Then we go for dinner. Very nice question. So Prabhu's question is this, that how can we help others? How can we spread this knowledge? So I always say this. Firstly, my whenever I give this session, my blood boils. And I'm sure whoever hears this session, their blood also boils. Because it's almost like, you know, tight slap on our face. We have just given up our culture and accepted something nonsense from outside. So one thing is, firstly, we have to be convinced. That's very, very important. And how that will happen? When we thoroughly analyze our scriptures very nicely. Bhagavad Gita, very nicely we have to study. Very nicely we have to study from verse 1 to the last verse, 18th chapter, 78th verse. Very nicely we have to study and see that how Bhagavad Gita offers solutions to all problems of life. And then when we go through all that, when we start implementing in our life, we'll get so much of confidence. We'll cannot hold ourselves at that time. Automatically we'll take Bhagavad Gita outside and we'll catch people and say, come here, I want to speak something on Bhagavad Gita. That will happen. Matlab, the heart should be so much filled that it overflows and the other person also get that. No? The spillover other person is also getting. So as of now, for all the people sitting in this room, my only request or my only advice or suggestion is go deeper. Go deeper in Shastra. Go deeper in Bhagavad Gita, especially Bhagavad Gita. And when it comes to weekends, when we are free, we have to go out and distribute Bhagavad Gita. When we go and tell people, you will see, actually you will see, whatever today I spoke, no. For many of you, it will be theory. But when you go on the road and hold Bhagavad Gita and see reaction of people, sometimes people see Bhagavad Gita and they... No? And sometimes, you know, people will look at that and suddenly run. And sometimes, you know, I've done this. You know, I also ran behind them and held them back. Well, kahan ja raha idhar, main kya tu bhaga raha hoga idhar. I literally done that at times, you know. So you'll see all these reactions. Then you'll realize how fortunate we are. See, first thing is we have to be convinced. We have that conviction, and we should understand that we are very fortunate that we have got connected to this glorious parampara and this glorious teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Bas ek bar ye ho jaye, then automatically other things will manifest. Yes. But coming like this in the association is very, very important. And hearing such topics and discussing such topics is very important. And automatically things will manifest. So association and our own practice will lead to distribution of this knowledge. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So at that time the position of constellation is actually mentioned, right? But why are we, our nation, India, I'm talking about total, why don't they just, you know, believe that it has really mentioned about the position of constellations and the stars in this galactic, all the knowledge has already been mentioned there. So why is it hard to, you know, prove that thing? I mean, it is already mentioned. So why is it hard for us
Actually, I understood your question, that if it's already existing, then what's taking us back from proving that? Yes. One is, the Mughals and Britishers, no, they did a great contribution. They burnt our scriptures, most of it. Yes. And some of it they have taken to their British museum and they have nicely, you know, displayed there. So our Indians, we go take ticket and see our own scriptures there. And that's what's happening. So currently, the thing that we have is, maybe external things we might not be able to prove that nicely, because all that needs a lot of sadhana. See, astrology and all that, it's not about just we read something and then we just say. It needs a lot of sadhana. Now, there's specific practice that a person has to go through, and a great amount of purity has to be maintained. And then that particular thing will work. Even, you know, this palmistry and all that is there. Everything is there. Just by seeing the forehead also, people can, you know, speak. But then that needs a lot of purity. And then you also see the... It doesn't work. But nowadays we have such people. So now what has happened is, because of such people who are, you know, somehow fooling people, because of that, what has happened? It's very difficult for people to believe, the common public to believe. Because of so many dongi sadhus, it's very difficult for educated people like us to actually have faith in, you know, scriptures and other things. So we don't have, you know, those people who can actually prove this. And this astrology and other things was on material platform. So devotees will not give much importance to that. You know, obviously it's very mesmerizing, but then devotees will not give so much of importance, because it needs a lot of time and so much of time will go. So currently what we can prove is how Bhagavad Gita works, how Mahamantra works. Because this will help us to grow and break the cycle of birth and death, and along with that, it will help us to prove that how it works. So currently proving astrology and all the other things which are there will be a bit difficult task. And we devotees will not take up to those things. We don't want to prove like that. But we want to prove through the scriptures the glories of Bhakti Yoga, the glories of Sanatana Dharma. That can be done very nicely. And that we are doing. Anyways, we are doing all those things. Yeah. So I think stomach is saying prasadam. Yes, so let's end for today. So thank you very much for being here. And my best wishes for all the ones who have come for the first time. That please take up devotional service more and more seriously, because it's a very, very rare gem. And now you'll have a lot of conviction when you're in association, but once you go back to your whatever association you have, conviction will reduce. So you have to take a great endeavor from your side to be in touch with devotees. You have to ask questions and you have to practice. Then you'll be able to sustain. Or else, people outside, are bahut zyada log hai. It's almost like people are flowing like this. No, river is flowing like this and we all are swimming across. That's what is happening exactly. So we need support. So I request all of you all to continue with great intensity with the association of all the devotees. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.